But I will say this, seriously, that Don, when I was looking at a very deep time of my life, I just found Don, I believe it was the Holy Spirit, and by his grace, he's a very, very busy, very accomplished, brilliant man of God. He's straight from the hood, and he has this mind that is just brilliant. He's a graduate of Wheaton College and went on to the University of Iowa for his doctorate. He's just a brilliant man and down to earth and full of the Holy Spirit, and he took me under his wing, and he truly became my spiritual father. And till this day, I still bug him like a little whiny spiritual kid. Can we talk? I got problems. And so he is always gracious to me. He's a brilliant man. He is one of the major reasons that Restored exists and that we exist the way we do. And his staff with Toomey, Lorna is back there in the booth. Amen. You notice how sappy Toomey students are always clap for you more because they know where the real power is in their grading. Amen. And so Don is one of the VPs of World Impact. He is the creator of Toomey that we are glad to be the 73rd campus of, satellite campus of. And he's just a brilliant man and a dear friend to our church, prays for us continually, and just a spiritual father to us all. And so without that, without me crying anymore this morning, I just want to introduce Dr. Don Davis this morning.
Thank you, sir. I could hear Rob praise me all morning long. Refreshing. I wanna join all of us in thanking our mothers. I am a mama's boy. I mean, my dad died when I was 10 years old, and my mother, with an eighth grade education from the Delta of Mississippi and eight children, raised us. And most of us in our family, all of us came to know the Lord. Most of us are ministers. She died some time ago, but she was a striking person. She illustrates what all of us know, those of us who have mothers, that we are not here because of ourselves. We're here because of investment. Whether or not we acknowledge it or not, not one person in this room is here because of their own strength and ingenuity. You are the product of care. You know, you exist because someone cared for you. You didn't ask them to. You know, sometimes you even resisted the care. You know, you got mad at it and screamed against it. And yet, that is the way, the very nature of Christian faith really is. And that's what I'd like to share briefly. To me, Restored is a community of faith. If I were on the stand in Sedgwick County and they said, and they asked me, what do you, Rob, you know Steve and Ty and all of Jared and everyone, you know some of the members, what would you say about Restored? I would say that Restored is a community of faith. When you think about faith, when I think about faith, I think about one story that I'd like to share about. There are many things in the Bible. I am a person of profound commitment to story. I am right on the, we're right at Toomey on the verge of starting a new organization whose whole impact is going to be able to teach preachers, teachers, counselors to use the stories of the Bible to understand the story of the Bible. If you think about over 75%, 80% of the Bible is story. I mean, if you think about them, and these stories sort of coincide with our story. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us, we're completely different people. We came from different places. We grew up in a different place. We have evolved over our story. As a matter of fact, the idea, the notion that we're on a journey is a major, major image, metaphor, motif in the Bible. Every person, everywhere, nearly 7 billion of us, on this planet, every one of us has our own unique story. Aristotle, the old Greek fellow, brilliant Greek philosopher, he wrote comprehensively on story. He said every good story, and I love stories, movies, plays, I love stories. I feast on stories. I am indwelling the story that we sang about today. Restored is on a journey, and every single person, marriage, family in Restored is in the journey, is sharing the story of Restored. And God is going to sort of unfold that story. I taught a class with a rabbi at the University of Iowa. He's a brilliant person. And the way he sort of talked about this is that God made people, everybody. He made us because he loves stories. Every one of you has a unique story. I mean, if you think about it for a second, where you came from, what you've learned, where you are now, you know, how your story is like unfolding, you know. Most stories have a sort of a pattern. If you look at any show from Tootsie to Star Wars, it begins with this sort of, it's called the doormat. It's the way the story begins, and then complications just sort of creates conflict and drama until finally, right at the pinnacle of the story, there's some sort of climax, some sort of resolution. And then on the other side of that, it's called a French word, denouement. It means the end of a thing. I don't know why they wouldn't just say end of a thing. It's like, you know, at the end of a movie, when like for stupid people, they sort of explain everything. They say, yeah, and you know, when Shirley did that, then, oh, Shirley did that because she shouldn't have done that. You know, and for the people who didn't get it during the movie, they sort of explain it. That's what denouement is. And then it just sort of ends. There are millions and millions and millions of us who share this common journey. I woke up a black boy in this world, you know. I am going to talk about our common journey. I think that this is a good word for Restored. Restored is an amazing fellowship with amazing leaders. With candidly, I get around. Restored has the finest worship team. Restored is just a booming worship team. Restored doesn't know it, but they can just flat out throw down. Now, you know, I mean, they can bring it, Ben. I ain't lying. And they could do all kinds of things if Steve will let them. So I'm happy that Steve is back. We can get funk and soul and dance music, you know. Everyone is on a journey. Everything is on a journey. This is a mosaic of one of the boats that sort of the first century Palestine people sort of went through. Jesus. About a year ago this time, several members of Tumi's staff and a group of about 40 of us were in Israel for 2 weeks. And we went on the Sea of Galilee. We saw everything around there. It was really tremendous. We got to see a lot of the ruins. We saw replicas of a boat that Jesus was in. And there is a particular story in the Bible that sort of, it's one of the most amazing texts in all of the scripture. And I think it can really speak to us on Mother's Day 2014, especially here at Restore. It is a story that is often painted and drawn. As a matter of fact, it is one of the most painted stories by artists in all of the Gospels. It is the story when Jesus fell asleep in the boat. You remember that story? I'm going to talk about that story just briefly. But on a journey across the Sea of Galilee, which, by the way, I thought it was a sea, that the Tiberias Sea, it's called the Galilee Sea. I thought it was just like, you know, I knew it wasn't just massively big, like something like the Mediterranean or something. But you can see right across it. So, you know, we got in the boat and it took us, you know, a sort of steady distance. It didn't take us that long to go over. They had been on the waters many times. I will go into the sort of the details, but they encountered a storm. And this is what I'd like to talk about. It is impossible to be a disciple of Jesus on your journey and not experience storms. You cannot. Every person in this room, if they love the Lord, if they're following Christ, in their story, they're going to encounter things that are not the things that you would want to encounter. As a matter of fact, this is storm season here in Kansas. So all of us are sort of getting, you know, we're gearing up. As a matter of fact, later on today, there's supposed to be some severe weather. I want to just make a very clean, clear, simple proposition today based on this story. That regardless of the storms that every single one of us are going to encounter, all of us can be assured of the most basic things. Now, in my judgment, the greatest truths of all are the truths that anybody can get. In other words, you don't have to be smart or know Greek or Hebrew or any of that. They're low-hanging fruit. It's just like you can just go. Just, it's right there. You don't even have to, like, try real hard. As a matter of fact, the most significant truths that we need are truths that we teach our kids in Vacation Bible School. I mean, the big truths, the truths that can transform your life, change your church, completely heal your marriage and family, are the most basic ideas. And I am going to make a very simple claim that regardless of the storms we encounter, we can be assured that we can endure whatever we're going to go through. This worship time this morning, come awake, come awake. Yeah, come awake. Come and rise up from the grave. This is the meaning of Christianity. That regardless of where you've been or where you are at in your journey, beginning, middle, or at the end, no matter what you've gone through or what you endure, you can come awake and endure with honor, with perseverance. You can get through. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Now, if you're not like ready for crisis and trouble, it's going to happen. Every one of us can go through, but because Jesus is Lord and we are never alone, and because our faith can always remain in him, we can get through what God wants us to do. The story where I'm at, God, I've gone through perhaps most of my journey. I've often thought that the faith walk was like spending money. The Lord gives me a handful of change, and I put it in my pocket, and I can spend it on anything I want. I don't know how much is in there, and I've been spending now for some time. One day, I will reach into my pocket, and there will be no more coins left. It'll be done. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know where you're in the journey. 2014, for some of us, could be the very end of our journey. Last year, final lap. We don't know that. I'm not afraid of that. This is why we sing, right? This is why we sing. As a matter of fact, the songs, the sermons that were given and the songs that we sang are actually not for Sunday morning, but for Wednesday afternoon, Thursday evening, Saturday morning. These songs are so I could know how to live during the day. I mean, and man, we sang it today. It is won. It is done. How do I keep these things in my mind? How do I live? How do I become as a member of Restore? How does Restore take its place? How does it continue to become the community that can glorify the risen King and honor him while you inevitably go through it? I've never met a Christian who is worth anything who is not encountering trouble. Trouble, trial, testing is so ingredient to the Christian life that it's virtually impossible for me to conceive of being a believer and not going through trouble. Trouble is important. Trouble is key. And I'd like to go through this one little story. It's only four or five verses. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. And in this, you will see that a crisis comes up on the sea. The disciples will make a cry to the Lord. The most amazing picture of our Lord falling asleep while they're on a journey together. Just the idea that the Lord would be asleep while I'm encountering something. That's a powerful idea. I love that idea. And then the command that our Lord gives as a result of everything that they went through. The crisis, the cry, and the command. Very simple, but very, very important and I believe profound in helping us understand exactly where we are right now. No matter where we are, Don Davis is on a journey. A story is unfolding. I am living out a story. I'm in the midst of a journey. And on that journey, I'm going to encounter certain things. And by God's grace, he can give me the grace to endure. Let's look at these three together. To begin with, the crisis on the sea. I'm reading from the English Standard Bible. If you have another, you can follow along in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 and 23. One day, he, speaking of Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Now, if you know anything about the New Testament, the New Testament storytellers for us, Luke, Mark, Matthew, and John, tell the story of Jesus, but they tell it profoundly concisely. Did you know that the New Testament has fewer words than the Wichita Eagle on Sunday? The New Testament is like a short little book, and you can see the way these guys tell the story. It's very, very like tight. You know, one day they got into a boat, and Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." Come on, y'all. By the way I read my Bible, I read my Bible with tone. I don't think Jesus said, look, let us go together to the other side of the lake. I think he said, y'all want to go to the other side of the lake? Why don't we go on over to the other side? I mean, he wanted to go to the other side. And they're fishermen. They know Galilee. And, you know, Galilee is a beautiful place. I mean, at night, it's just a gorgeous place. And the water is one, it's a gorgeous freshwater lake. It's just nestled. It's got these towns around it. We actually stayed in a kibbutz on the Sea of Galilee. It was really amazing. It was beautiful. As they went across the lake, Luke says that Jesus fell asleep. And in the midst of this journey that Jesus told them to go on, a storm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water. And Luke says, in the Greek, they were filling with water. Now, guys, this is a profound story. It actually happened, in my judgment. This actually happened. We believe in the Word of God. It's not just fairy tale or myth. It's the true Word. This is an actual incident that took place. What is really significant about this text is not just the on-the-surface meaning, but the below-the-surface meaning. The Lord bids us to follow him. He accompanies us on every journey that he gives to us. This is really important. God will never ask me to go through something that he don't go with me through it too. I've gone through a lot of things, and most of the struggles that I had no idea they were going to come. It was in the midst of our ordinary day. You know, just like any ordinary day. I remember an ordinary Sunday that took place about 10 years ago. My wife, my mother-in-law is 97 years old. She's in a care home in Hutchinson. That's where my wife is now. She tends to visit her. This is Mother's Day. She wants to go on Sunday. I wind up teaching a lot. And so we're out and about, and we're doing various things. One Sunday, like any Sunday, and the phone rings, and I pick the phone up, and it's my daughter, absolutely hysterical. I mean, she was in Bloomington, Illinois at the time. She is now a professor at the University of Louisiana. I mean, she was working on her work. And, you know, my son, my oldest, Matthew, about 6'3", little caramel-looking brother, real thick dreads. I mean, real. Davis men can grow our hair super thick. I could have, like, white dreads and look like Moses. You know, that, it's too much work, and this is much cooler, so I'm going to just shave it off. But he had a lot of hair, massive amounts of hair, choke chains tattooed up. You know, he was a part of this band. They were three shy of 400 shows. They had just got back from Poland and touring Europe and everything. He wanted to see my daughter there. And overnight, they had talked about heaven. Like any other Saturday evening, they were up late, chatting it up. That Sunday morning, in the midst of an ordinary day, something happened to his heart and his sort of system inside, and he froze up, his heart stopped, and my daughter is on the phone saying, "Dad, Matthew is dying. The ambulance is here. He's on the gurney. I don't know what's going on." She was just totally hysterical, and a highway patrolman took the phone from her, and I'm on the phone. I'm just like any ordinary Sunday. The highway patrolman said, "Yes, sir, your son, he's in dire arrest. They are working on him. They will take him to the hospital." 45 minutes later, my son was pronounced dead. 26 years old, didn't smoke or drink, a fine Christian guy who was willing to be put in a basket and then being lured into the darkest pit for Jesus. I love my son's mind. He wanted to go where nobody would go. You know, there are nice people, ordinary people. He wanted to be with folk that no one would see. And he went there, and he's young, just teeth as straight as a piano. He had hygiene problems, I will admit that. But other than that, this guy was a wonderful kid. But look at the issue. In the midst of my ordinary day, I didn't plan on it. When troubles come to you, they come to you without any warning, right? You're not like preparing for something. You didn't want that to happen. You're not like praying that you, none of us are like afraid, hopefully. We're not just hoping that terrible things would happen. But the Lord sometimes bids us to follow him like any other day. How many times have fishermen gone to the other side of the lake? "Hey, man, why don't you jump in the boat? Why don't we go over there? Okay? Let's go on over there." How many times have they gone in that boat? Thousands? Hundreds? They weren't afraid of water or storms. You know, isn't it interesting when someone comes to Kansas and don't know anything about like storms or tornadoes? Have you ever had anybody? And they're like, they'll hear a siren. And they're like nervous, man. I mean, like, you know, we're Kansans, or at least we're living here now. So we, okay. Yeah, is that another siren? Yeah. We're not like afraid. But if you, these are guys who live on a lake. They're not afraid. For them to be afraid, can you imagine a camp? When we are afraid of a tornado, it's, you know what I'm saying? We understand what a storm is. These guys went out, and in the flow of their lives, I'm telling you guys, this is one of the great truths of Christianity. In the flow of our ordinary day, there are things are going to occur that are going to vex us, that are going to try us, that are going to kill us, that are completely unforeseen. They're going to happen. Guys, this is really important. This is one of the reasons why a lot of people think that being a Christian is a hoax. We sing songs of victory and grace and being won, while, quite honestly, we're like wheat in a turban. Haven't you? Just think back on the things that you have personally gone through in even the last year, let's say. Just think of the loss and the trial, the struggles, things inside us. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the world, the things that vex us outside us, the flesh, our own sin nature. Every single day I carry around this dead corpse inside. There's like two Dons, one that loves the will of God and another that is a part of me being a part of Adam. And I will struggle with this sin nature. In the Greek, it's called sarx. It's called the flesh, translated in English. If you scratch the F off and turn it backwards, it's the self. There's this thing inside that I struggle with. Struggle is what I live with. Outside, inside, and all around. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And no Christian anywhere is free from this. You're going to struggle every day. Aren't there some of us who every single day, all day, all you do is struggle in your mind? Or am I the only one like that? I mean, all day long, with self-hatred, self-loathing, with temptation, Sometimes your mind is just where you'll be in prayer, Father. Oh, and a thought pops in. You say, oh, no, that's not from, Lord, I don't know what's going on with that, but that's not from me. You know what I'm saying? To be a Christian is to be in this constant, ordinary struggle every day. By the way, that's why we have church. We need church so we can get clear again. This is the temple. Oh, yeah, we win. Dang, I forgot about that. Shoot. Don't you tend to forget that we win? It's real easy. You can get depressed, get low, oh, man. And then, boy, you strike up the restored band. Oh, yeah. That's what, you know, restored band makes me want to throw up my hand. Because it's you know what Martin Luther said about singing? He said, singing is praying twice. It is the actual song that we are given. You look at the words in the songs that are sung. It's just amazing. It affirms that in the midst, in the flow of my everyday story, things are going to occur that are going to vex me, that I didn't see, that are going to be tough. So it literally says this, guys, just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a trouble-free journey. It was the Lord's idea for them to get in the boat. This is important. It was the Lord's idea for them to get in the boat. Now, this is really important because there are a lot of us who have this notion that if we know Christ, then we shouldn't have any trouble. That is just the most foolish thing. That makes me want to laugh. I mean, that I've never known a fine person. Have you ever wondered why we know all the dirt of virtually every biblical character in the Bible? Why do we know all their stories and them messing up and jacking up and murdering folk and lying to things, giving up stuff? Why did God put that in the Bible? Why isn't the Bible just one long thing of victory, stormless journeys? Why put this in the scripture? So you can know that to love Jesus of Nazareth is to be in a fight every single day. This is why restored is so important to me. Y'all's name affirms this truth. Man, I'd love to be a member of Restored. People say, now what's the name of y'all's church? I'd say Restored. Restored from what? And my answer would always be, depends on your pathology, brother. Just because Jesus is in the boat doesn't mean that all our seas are going to be like this. This is the Sea of Galilee from a boat. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's more like this. My Christian life has been more like this, not like that. More like this, not like that. In other words, to be a Christian is not to be without trial or struggle, vexation, irritation, jealousy, being broke, being tired, your kids are crazy, your husband is ugly, your clothes. Come on now. I mean, don't you as just a person go through stuff and it's not quite, you know, my wheels are just, things are not clean. Things are not clean. Don't feel bad if you are in the midst of struggle, because every disciple of Jesus, everyone, even with Jesus in the boat, even with him in the boat, are asked to go on a journey, quite literally, I'm going to get the same work, that flows like this. This is why I love this text. It was Jesus' idea to go to the other side. All of them got in the boat, and while they were in the boat, Jesus fell asleep. It was so calm and sweet. But as they journeyed, a windstorm came up, and the boat was being filled with water, and Jesus did not wake up. Man, how many times in my life? Well, it's pretty interesting. There's a verse, a little short verse, in verse 24, the cry that the disciples made. In Luke 24, the first part of the verse, it says, and they went, the boat is, the wind is coming, they're in danger, the boat is filling with water, Luke says, and they went, they wake Jesus up, saying, do you think Do you think they said, "Master, Master, we are perishing," in a like a nice way? I bet these boys were like, they're fishermen. This is their business to do this. They're not afraid of some little storm. I'm not afraid of some little Kansas, some little storm. They're fearing for their life with Jesus in the boat, asleep. "Master, Master, we are perishing. Would you please wake up and get us out of this trouble? Have you lost your mind, Lord?" Guys, living as a disciple of Jesus doesn't make you immune from trouble. This is what I love about Restored. Restored is a significant congregation in Wichita because Restored is based on a simple premise that no matter where you are, the grace of God, even if you're undeserving, the grace of God can meet you and completely restore you. It's our name. It's in our DNA. We breathe this. This is who we are. The Christian life is not easy. No pat answers. You can love God and still storms come up and things don't work out. You can still have people you love and cherish act crazy, run out of money, be thrown out your job, not have your house. Things can get out of control and you can love God and that can still happen. But we are here because our name is... Yeah, see that? Y'all flunked that test. Y'all should have said, "Restore." You know, and those who can beat a pectoral bend, restore. Keep our arms out like we're Rocky or something. Guys, living as a disciple doesn't make you immune from trouble. This is really key in making disciples here. This is really key in making disciples here. Why do we appear so overwhelmed at every trial if the Lord Jesus is truly with us on our journey? It was his desire to go to the other side. He got in the boat. We are going together. And on the way across, storms come up, ones that put us in jeopardy, and he's just snoring. You think the Lord snores? I use a CPAP machine. I strap on this like a raccoon on my face every night. And then I throw a switch and it's just like a jet engine. My poor nostrils are so dry. It's like one of these times I fear, I know that Rob, I think Rob uses a CPAP. I think one of these times us CPAP users, Rob is going to be up preaching, excitable the way Rob gets. His nose is going to fall off. The CPAP just dries your sinuses up, your throat, It's Jesus, my wife said she loves my CPAP machine. She polishes it, wipes it all, because she can sleep now. I snore it so loud. You know, I'm quiet as a baby now. She loves it. You think the Lord snored? Come on now, you theologians. When we think of the Lord, we think too much like he's some holy person in a movie. I think Jesus was a man. Hebrews 4 said he was like me in every way except without sin. He was a man. He got tired hearing the ways of the wind. You think the Lord had one of them? You think the Lord ever did it? Or was his sleep always just heavenly sleep? What we do in our minds is we turn Jesus into somebody that we've never thought about. He's not a real person. He was tired. For whatever reason, he fell asleep in the boat. He fell asleep in the boat, guys. He was oblivious to what was going on. Guys, what we really believe about the Lord becomes most clear when we find ourselves in jeopardy. When you're tested, then we know if you believe what we've been singing about. See, that's why it's so important to go through the test. Let me ask you a simple question. Can you truly know your status as a disciple without a trial to show you where you are? This is one of the worst things in our churches, guys. People come to our church and we act as if the Christian life is all flowers and 4th of July fireworks and glory and victory. It is that, but it is victory in the midst of struggle and wrestling and trial and problems. What if we were to show people that we could still say it is won, it is done, but we still are in the midst of our struggle? It is something different to really affirm that while our lives are in jeopardy. I can tell y'all and testify that most of my life has been constant struggle since I've come into the kingdom of God. I've lost 3 sisters, a brother, a mother, and a father-in-law. I've lost nieces and nephew, all of them since I just came back to Wichita from graduate school. I've known what it means to be without. I lost and buried my own dear son. All of these things. And I've tried to dedicate myself with discipline to the kingdom of God and its advance. And the more I commit myself to Christ, the more trouble comes. It's been just the opposite of the other. The more committed I am, the more things get out of control. This story can help us understand that. Just because Jesus asks you to go on a journey, even if the Lord is with you in the boat on the journey, does not mean that you don't have to go through, even then. This is a really significant idea. As a matter of fact, I think it's so significant that it can really transform the way we think about our faith. Well, it's pretty simple. They encounter this crisis on the Sea of Galilee. They cry out to the Lord, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Wow. To me, everything in life is to get us to a point of sensing our need for God's grace. Let me say that again. Everything in your life is given to you as a gift so you can sense your need for God's grace. My thesis is very simple. It is this. Every person you ever meet, anywhere, whether they're Christian or not, is a person in need. But what we have are 2 kinds of people. The stupid needy people and the wise needy people. Everyone's needy. Everyone is needy. Every single person has need. The only difference is that there are some who know they need it and others who are completely oblivious to their need. You know what makes us a unique Christian community? Is that not only are we needy, but we know where the answer is to meet that need. That's the only difference between us and lost people, right? What do you have right now in the Lord that he didn't just give you by his grace? You know how I define grace? Grace is God's protection, provision, and comfort given to you every single day, whether you are aware of it or not, and certainly whether or not you are deserving of it or not. God takes care of you in ways that you never even pray about, right? You never even think about it. You never pray about it. Even though you're not deserving, even though you're not worthy, he continues to lavish his protection, provision, his care. That's what makes Christianity so thrilling to me. The person whose arms are all brown and darkened due to track marks and teeth are rotten with meth, who blinks often, who mutters at himself in the New York subway system, or people whose lives are tore up, we can go to them based on the songs that we're singing, the truths, and we can promise them restoration because we're no different from them and the grace is for us all. So no one can boast, no one can brag. It's given to anybody, anywhere. And the only difference is your ability to sense your need. That's it. Everything that God does is get you in a place where you can know how needy you really are. That's all Christianity is. Now, see, if you don't know, he's got to help you know, right? That's called a trial. That's all it is. A trial is simply a way of you coming to understand it. You look at the way the Lord, this little small text ends. Jesus awakes, "Master, Master, we are perishing." It says that he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging wave. Oh, gosh, I love the Lord. I love these stories. He woke up. What's going on? And he rebuked the waves. Can you imagine the Lord standing up on Lake Cheney and saying, "You better stop that right now. Quit that. I mean, like, right now." And then everything got real quiet. Wow. And the dudes in the boat, he said there was a calm. And they said to themselves, I like the peanut gallery of the apostles. Because Jesus will do something, and then they'll turn to each other and say, "Man, dang." Now, it's not in the Greek here, but I think I can say dang, and the spirit of the Greek is right there. Dang! Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Jesus asked them. And they were afraid. They were afraid in that boat. God. And they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Yeah, you know, guys, it's pretty plain. When Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, a great calm comes, whether on the sea or within the heart of his child. Being a Christian to me is not about God always in every instance calming the storm. Sometimes he calms me inside in the midst of the storm. You know what I'm saying? In order to build you, you need to know that you are going to, Jesus in the boat, the most amazing ironic thing that the Lord seems to don't care that we're perishing. In the midst of that boat, he can wake from sleep, and in a moment he can calm the sea. Just nothing for him. He can fix your financial issue or your kid that's acting crazy. Or he gave us extraordinary grace as we maneuvered that thing with our son. And my sisters and my brother. I've had so much death in my family. God has rebuked the wind. He has, and the waves. He has brought great calm. Oftentimes, not in my situation, but in me. He's changed me in the midst of it. And anymore, after living decades with this Nazarene, I know now that he is Lord. Nothing can occur in my life without his knowledge and consent. It means that he is in the boat with me. I'm not by myself. This is one of the greatest truths in Christian thought. You are never alone again. I don't care what you're going through. Never alone. I don't care how you feel. You can feel that he's close by. He's there. You can feel that he's completely gone. He is there. He is present. He is Lord. The tomb is empty. Death is dead. That's what we sang, ain't it? Come on now. Come on now. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see my son again, who has been talking to my dad, who died when I was 10, and they know each other. So I can't wait to this time that Rob was talking about, and my son introducing my dad to me, and me introducing my father to my wife and my other two kids, you know, and getting with them. And hugging, there's going to be a little breakout session for the Davis clan in heaven. Will all Davis people please come to Gabriel 217? And then I'm going to go there. I'm going to come on in there. Man, I'll see Rob and say, "Man, we made it. Where are all them restored people, man? Have you seen them around? I've been trying." No. No, y'all will be there too. Guys, the question that Jesus asks is the question. It's the question of the restored story. This is a church that was founded in a situation where the very DNA of this community is that we go through. Christ is Lord, and we only understand the wonder of God's provision on the other side of the grave. We've got to go through it. There are no shortcuts. We can't go around it. We must go through. We're a community that affirms that Jesus will stay with us even as we go through and he can restore. It's just a great thing for a body. It's a great, it's perfect for our day. Just imagine this. The name and the DNA of Restored is precisely what we need in this city. Not just this city, Rob, but in dozens of cities like it. Let me challenge you to not give up your dream of planting communities of restoration all over the world. There's no reason we shouldn't have Restored London, Restored Amsterdam, Restored Lagos. We should have Restored Rios. We should look for the nastiest, dirtiest places and then get our banner and then raise it high on the pole and tie it off and then say, it is done. It is won. Come on, y'all. This is who. There's no reason on earth. There's no reason on earth to carry this message. Where is your faith? It's the critical question. And I like what the apostle said. Who then is this? Who then is this? That's the whole point of going through everything. It's the point I found out a little more going through this with my son, who this Nazarene really is. I found out how gracious he is, how kind he is. Found out what his comfort is like. I've heard his voice in the midst of struggle. I have a testimony. If we have to testify, I could stand up and I could testify what it means to go through with Jesus in my boat, for the storm to come up, for to nearly die, and he bring me through. When the storm, you got people here. I love talking to Brandy at the women's retreat, talk to Ty a little bit, seeing y'all. Y'all got plenty of stories of people who've gone through and come out on the other side. Y'all should be so proud. I'm not lying. It'd be hard for me to be a part of Restore. I'd have pride issues if I was a part of Restore. If you don't understand what God is doing in this, you're missing what is to me the elemental truth here. You believe that no matter what we face, the Nazarene can command even winds and water, and they can obey him. The bottom line is this, y'all. The check engine light is on in the world. This is the basic story of the Bible, is that things are sort of messed up, and they don't know what. I've been on many a trip, sometimes many hundreds of miles from home, when the check engine light came on. You're not quite sure what it is, But now that I'm a Christian, I know that I was not designed to live life on my own. I was not. I was not designed to try to fight the struggles of my life by myself. This is the great truth of discipleship to me. It's why I'm so excited about what Restored represents. To have a name like Restored means that you know, too, that the check engine light is on, but you also affirm that Jesus of Nazareth is Lord. You do. Guys, you do. You sing it. It's here. You breathe it. He is Lord. It means that he alone can make us well. So whether or not You're a little one, quite honestly, or an older one. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the tiniest person in this church or the oldest. It doesn't matter what your generation is or what you think you know or where you have been or what you face. The truth is still the same. The truth is always the same. That regardless of the stories that we have, our hands have always been in the Father's hands. We've never been alone, not even one moment. That for me to become the man that God wants me to be, I must get into the boat with Christ and go to the other side. And that means that I'm going to encounter a storm. Guys, we received a letter from an inmate. We just welcomed our 166th satellite of the Urban Ministry Institute. Pretty amazing. We're in 12 countries now. We're setting our goals high. We would like to train leaders quite literally all over the globe. We are working feverishly in getting it translated into Arabic and Creole and French and Portuguese and other things. One of the students of our more than 40 satellites that are in medium and maximum security prisons wrote us a letter recently. It's an amazing letter. It was just a guy who had just finished his first module. He's just an ordinary prisoner. The Lord has his life. He says to my brothers and sisters in Christ at the Urban Ministry Institute, greetings in the strong name of Jesus Christ. They always repeat that back to me. He said, I have just started Toomey Seminary education at Consinella State Prison in California. I have finished module one. I have a long way to go, he says, but God willing, I will finish the Toomey curriculum. Now, this is an interesting letter. We get these. But this guy went on to say, he says, it pleases me. I am pleased to be taking Toomey. It pleases me to send you a love gift of 15 postage stamps as an act, as an aid to your ministry and for the work that you do. Now, this may not mean a whole lot to you, but these guys at the lowest end can make anywhere from 20 to 40 cents a day. 15 postage stamps is half of his monthly salary. Yeah, more, someone says. Thank you. It's a lot of money. But he is so convinced that he is not alone that he can just be outrageously generous. He's not afraid of what he's going to face. Do you see, when you really understand what it means to be restored, when you really give yourself over to this, you can say, I have a long path. He said, I got a long way to go, but I'm going to finish the Toomey curriculum. I think we can say with this prisoner, I have a long way to go, but God willing, I will finish the path that God has laid out for me. My story ain't done. It doesn't matter what you guys are doing. You don't have to be afraid or ashamed. You don't have to be guilty or feel out of control. You are not odd because you're going through things, or you have days where you don't like yourself or don't like what you're doing. Don't feel odd because you are going through storms. Everyone goes through storms, and Jesus is in the boat with us. Guys, even frankly, even if it seems that he goes to sleep, he's able to stand up quick, and he can make mincemeat of the things that we face. I've come to the conclusion that being a disciple of Jesus of Nazareth is not being without storms. It is being strong enough to persevere until I get to the other side of the storm. It's not being without storms. Don't act like you're crazy. If you feel broken and weak and anemic and confused, you are not alone. We all feel that way. Persevere until the Nazarene stands up, stretches out, and speaks to the wind and the waves in your life. There will be a great calm. And you, with your peanut gallery, can go over and say, who then is this that can even speak to the wind and the rain? And they obey. Guys, Jesus of Nazareth is Lord. We are never alone. And our faith should always remain in him. Let me end with one idea to leave you with. Dear friends, I believe this for restored. I believe in your community. I believe that prophetically, God raised you guys up so you can help a whole generation of people, not only in Wichita, but throughout this region and throughout this nation, really understands what it means to go through. The people you have here are not people who don't understand trial. This church was forged in the midst of trial. That's where it was forged. It's its DNA. It's what it is. You need to welcome that. You need to embrace that. It's not odd or crazy. You're not funny. This is the way it should be. But you should always remember that sometimes the Nazarene can calm the storm, but at other times, he will calm his people. He'll calm his child. This is what I believe, my hope for restored. Restored is not going to be for people who in every case the storm ends. But I believe that Restored can be the sort of congregation that in every case, in every instance, Restored disciples are calm because they trust and their faith is in the Lord. I thank God every single day for this church, Rob. Thank you for your leadership, man. Thank you for being so transparent to difficulty and to error. Thank you that you didn't jump out the boat and try to make it on your own. You know, thank you guys for being faithful to serving the Nazarene. May he be your strength on the journeys that you guys encounter. Wherever you are in your story right now, may you stay close to the Nazarene, and may your faith always be in the one who, though he seems asleep, is ever attentive to your need. The Lord will never leave you alone. What a great church you are. What a great DNA you have. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, our Father, I thank you for this amazing assembly. I do. I thank you for Rob, a person who just, to me, just fully understands what it means to go through, to endure, to persevere. And I look at the leaders here. I look at Ty and Steve. I look at Jared. I look at the people you have brought here. You are forming a family, Lord, of people who understand that you are a God who, because you are Lord, can bring us through to the other side of the complex problems that we face. Lord, I pray you would encourage their hearts, that they would not be discouraged, that they would not be wounded or feel overwhelmed by the struggles and the tragedies, the vexations, the problems, the insults, the needs that they face, because it is only in those needs that your grace is perfected. That provision and that leading, that direction, that comfort that we need in the midst of our struggle. So I pray, Lord, in my heart with thanksgiving, I'm glad I'm associated with this community. I pray you would make it abundant and fruitful. I pray, Lord, you will give them wisdom and insight on how they can grow, not only in number, but not only more members here, but more communities of faith around this city, in this area, and around this nation. Make Restored a movement of restoration and joy, of testimony and praise to a Nazarene who is not ashamed or afraid at a little storm that may come up. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. And we thank you for you. Thank you for accompanying us on our journeys. Stay with us, Lord, and see us through to the end. For Christ's sake, amen.